Okay, we don't normally start out a parsha Dvar Torah this way, but there is a stira between two sugyas in Shas. There's a stira between a Gemara Maseches Bamasiyah Daf Peivav and a Gemara Maseches Tainis Daf Tes. But it's Agadita, it's a stira in Agadita, not a stira in Halacha. In what sense? The stira about what zuchus we had in order to merit the Anane Yakavod, the Man, and the Be'er. What was it? What provided us with those things? So the Gemara in Maseches Bamasiyah says that each relates to a different one of Avram Avinu's chesed that he did with the Malachim. The Gemara tells us, "Damar Avichem Bar Chanina v'chein tam de'ber Bishmal b'schar shlosha zachlu shlosha." In the schar of three different things that Avram Avinu did, we were zochet to three great gifts. How so? B'schar chema v'chalav zachlu l'man. He provided them with chema v'chalav, with butter and milk. So for that, we got the man. B'schar v'hu omeid aleihem zachlu l'amud ha'anan. Because he was omeid aleihem, which I guess means tended to their needs, watched over to make sure, see whatever they needed. So the amud ha'anan, because he was omeid aleihem. B'schar yukach no ma'at mayim, because he said, please take some water. So what we zochet to for that? The bear, right? Makes a lot of sense. He offered them water, so we were zochet lebe'era shel Miriam. So that's one Gemara. It's all Avram Avinu. It's all his chesed with the Malachim. That's what we zochet to all three of these matanos. The Gemara in Tainis, on the other hand, relates these three gifts of the Ananim, the Man, the Be'er, to three great leaders of Klal Yisrael during the Dor HaMidbar. Who were the three great leaders of Klal Yisrael during the Dor HaMidbar? Moshe is the obvious one. Aaron and Miriam. Yeah, three siblings. Sometimes it's all, genetic. You know, it all comes in the same family. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, three great leaders. The Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shlosha Parnasim Tovim Amdu LiYisrael. Three great leaders for the Jewish people, providers for the Jewish people, because Jewish leadership is more about providing for the people than about receiving honor yourself. So three great providers for the Jewish people. Elohein, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. The Gimel Matanos Tovos Nitnu Al Yadam, and we received three great gifts through them. Ve'eluhein Be'er V'anan Uman. Be'er B'zchus. Well, this is an obvious one. Be'er is in Zchus Miriam, right? Of course. It's the Be'er Miriam. Amur Anan B'zchus Aaron. That's B'zchus Aaron. Man B'zchus Moshe. Mesa Miriam. Miriam dies. Nistali kaber, the be'er goes away. Shemar v'tamash Miriam uksiv basrei v'lo haya mayim le'eda. There was no water after Miriam in the immediate aftermath of Miriam's death. So how did we survive if there was no water? V'chazr b'chus shnehen. It came back because we still had Moshe and Aaron. So we lost the be'er momentarily because Miriam was gone, but we got it right back because Moshe and Aaron were still around. Meis Aaron nistalku anane kavod. The anane kavod went away when Aaron died. Shnemar v'yishma kanani melech harad, that the kanani heard, mashmua shama, what did they hear? Shama shemes aron v'nistalko anani kavod u'kesover nitnilo rishosli lachem b'Yisrael. The kananim heard that Aaron died, and therefore there are no anani kavod, and therefore it's time to attack. Well, what does it one have to do with the other? Lack of anani kavod means they can attack. Why? There's no protection, right? There's nothing, you know, it used to be you'd shoot a missile, it would boomerang right back at you, or whatever, or get swallowed in the Ananim, different midrashim, of exactly, whatever it did, it wasn't effective. Now, they're vulnerable. So that's what he thought. He thought he could fight with Klal Yisrael. That everyone saw that Aaron had died. They were terrified with two yuds. Mishamesh ba'ar b'lashonos. The word ki can mean four things. O, dilma, ella, deha. So when it says that, it's not that vayiru that they saw that Aaron died, but they were terrified because Aaron died. They thought that it's all over now. They don't have the protection anymore. The Iron Dome is down. So what are they going to do? So Chazru Shneim b'zchus Moshe, but Moshe was still around. So the Ananim came back, the Be'er came back, the Ananim came back. Because as long as Moshe is still around, Meis Moshe Rabbeinu dies, Nistalku Kulan, they're all gone. Shem Rav Achida Shloshes Haron B'Yerech Echad. because the pasuk says that all three great shepherds of the Jewish people died in 1 month. Is that true? They didn't all die in 1 month. Miriam died in Nisan, Aaron in Av, and Moshe in Adar. It's as if they all died in 1 month, because when the last of them died, when Moshe died, all three matanos, all three gifts, were gone. So, simple question. How do you reconcile the two Gemaras? Meaning, whose zuchos was it that actually earned us the Anan, the Be'er, and the Man? According to one Gemara in Bamitzia, it was all about Avram Avinu. According to the other Gemara, it was zuchos Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam. The Marsha deals with the question, but his answer is not really so readily understandable. The Marsha suggests, yeah, it was originally b'zchus Avram Avinu, but the zchus of Avram Avinu wouldn't have lasted so long. It would have only lasted l'fi sha'a. And because it only would have lasted l'fi sha'a, that's why we needed the zchus of Aaron and Moshe and Miriam. Well, what does that mean? Why is the zchus of Avram Avinu only l'fi sha'a? Why isn't his zchus an everlasting zchus? And Aaron, Moshe, Miriam's is? What is it about Avram's zechus that was lacking, that only would have been l'fi sha'a? And furthermore, just within the second Gemara, in the end of the day, why did we have all three of them? In the end, at the very end, why did we have all three? Because of Moshe. So what role exactly did Aaron and Miriam play? I mean, if Moshe's zechus alone was enough, so what did Aaron and Miriam for? Obviously, Moshe's zechus was enough, because when Aaron and Miriam were gone, Moshe was still providing for us. So what exactly is going on over here? So it seems one might be able to suggest, I don't know if this really fully answers it, but maybe it's the beginning of an answer, or at least a way to think about it, that when a person goes through an experience, you know, a major experience, particularly let's take the Dora Midbar, when they're going to go through this this experience of traveling through the Midbar, there are three distinct tkufos that each require bracha, and we need a separate zechus for bracha in each of these three tekufos. When we originally entered the Midbar, there's one tekufa, on the heels of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and everything is new to us, and like there are clouds surrounding us, and the sea is splitting, and things are happening. We're just coming off the heels of Esar Makos, seeing the Mitzrayim wash up ashore. Like, there's a certain energy to that, right, when that's first happening. And then there's a second tekufa, the realization that for the next 39 plus years, we're going to be stuck trudging along in this midbar. And the novelty wears off after a while. Yeah, it was super duper exciting at the beginning, I'm sure. Like, we're in a midbar, but it's like climate controlled, and our clothes are okay, and like, wow, this is awesome. And then, like, you know, you can imagine 5 years into it, like, these clothes are so out of style, you know, like, maybe it wouldn't be so good if, you know, to have everything grow with me. This, you know, when is this going to be over? How long are we going to deal with this for? You know, maybe I'd like to have a home, and maybe I'd like to not be able to know where I'm going to be tomorrow. You know, there's a certain difficulty in just trudging through 40 long years. And then there's the tkufa where you're almost at the finish line, where you're like, you're right there at the end. This is true of like many of life's experiences. Certainly, if people your age, your experience is in a school year, right? At the beginning of a school year, it's like energy. This year's going to be different, and you know, I'm gonna do all my homework on time, and I'm gonna study, and I'm gonna right. And then like reality sets in, and it's like, oh my God, how do I just like survive? Seriously, it's only the beginning of February. Like, how am I gonna get from here to there? And you just sort of like try to. And then there's that energy that comes at the end. The sun is shining, the birds are chirping, and like you know, and you're almost at camp time. And this happens in a lot of experiences in life that happen like this. So this was the experience of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. And maybe there are three different tekufos when you put these two gemaras together. There's the original burst of energy. There's the original burst of the anan, the man, the be'er. That's bizchus Avram Avinu, but that's only going to last l'fi sha'a. That's that original inspiration. Then there is the long, hard years in the Midbar. Bizchus Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Then at the very end, when we're almost at the finish line, it's all Bizchus Moshe. Maybe that's how it plays out. Why would that be, though? Why would that initial burst only come from Avram Avinu? The long, hard years require a Miriam and Aaron as well, and that final step be only Bezuchos Moshe? So maybe it works out as follows. Avram Avinu's contribution to the Malachim, what did he do for the Malachim? What did he provide for the Malachim? Really, in reality. How would the Malachim have been had Avram not fed them? Hungry? Tired? Well, what would you tell me? No, not hungry, not tired. Why not? Because they're malachim. They don't get hungry, they don't get tired. He was doing something that was a tremendous act on his part. But as far as practically, you know, providing someone with survival, he wasn't really doing that. You know, Avram was taking care of anybody who needed it. He was generating zechuyos. His contribution was inspiring. It wasn't practical. It wasn't something that was going to actually benefit somebody. And maybe that initial tekufa needed a zechus of inspiration. To survive through that first tekufa in the Midbar, when we were living off of the energy of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the zechus of what was going to provide for us then was going to be the Avram Avinu inspiration. You know, I was once expressing to a friend of mine how sometimes I give Daf Yomi Shir in my shul. So it's sometimes you hit a mesechta that's like hard, or even just a patch of dapim where like I think to myself as I'm saying the shir, I'm not really sure I understand what I'm saying. But I'm pretty sure if I was on the other side of this table, I would have no idea what I'm talking about. And yet, you know, I'm looking at people who have very busy lives, are exhausted, wake up at 6 a.m. to come to a shir where I'm not really doing a great job because I don't even understand it myself. And, like, I wonder, like, what are they getting out of it? Like, what's... So someone gave me chizik, said when you feel that way, when you look around the room and you just see like those faces of like, you know, blank faces, you may not be able to explain the Gemara at that point in a way that they're going to understand it, but that the vast majority won't understand it. Thank God in my shul I have a few guys that I can rely on, they know better than me. But make sure in that circumstance that your delivery is full of ahavas haTorah. That your delivery is full of passion, because that's something to gain also. I mean, even if a person has no idea what you're talking about, but they see a sense of ahavas haTorah, they see a sense of excitement, of passion, of energy in it, that's also something. That's also something to gain. I remember some of my 10th grade Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky. How much of the Torah that he taught me in 10th grade do I remember? Not that much. But I remember him jumping on that chair, and I remember him, you know, throwing things and yelling, and, you know, I've never seen Torah learned or taught that way before. And that spoke to me, that got me excited, a little fire under me. How much of it do I remember? No, again, it was Ksubis, actually, not that bad, but I it's hard to know, because I learned Ksubis a few more times since then. But, like, there's something to be gained. There's something to be gained from that as well. That's the zechus of Avram Avinu. So, you know, if you're teaching Zvachim and the conclusion of Malika's Trefa Metamid Beis Abliya, you know, maybe not everyone could pass the Bechina on that. You know, but a sense of Avas HaTorah. So the initial zechus of the Be'er, the Man, the Ananim, was the zechus of a nation that was riding the wave of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Eser Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf. It's inspiration, if not practicality. The zechus of having the moment when we suddenly realize that there's magic bread descending from heaven, or the first time we see an iron cloud intercepting a missile or leveling a mountain for us. You know, that comes from Avram Avinu, who started a nation with great acts of chesed, great energy, ultimately not real practical benefit. Then we move into the second tekufa. Avram's zechus is only lefi sha'a. It provides that initial burst, that excitement. But because he didn't actually provide the malachim in any real sense, we couldn't be provided through his zuchus. To be provided for, we needed the zuchus of people who provided for us, who tended to our needs, leaders who cared about us, who who were interested in how we were doing, not just in terms of our growth and learning and in Avodas Hashem, just how we were doing. Are we getting along with other people? Are we socially okay? That's what the Midrashim Chazal tell us about Aaron HaKohen. Oh, Yvshalom Rodov, Shalom Mishnah says, what does it mean? He would go around and make sure that everyone was getting along with each other. Sometimes Rabbanim complained that, you know, I didn't go through smicha so that I could be a social worker, that I could be a social director or whatever. But that's part of caring about people, is that making sure that everyone's okay. Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam represent sort of like a microcosm of the Jewish people. They are Klal Yisrael. How are they Klal Yisrael? Within Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam, you have a Kohen, a Levi Yisrael, right? You have an Ish and an Isha. You have a Melech. You have like every possible status, you know, or good kind of status within Klal Yisrael, right? You don't have a Mamzer. Okay, you don't have an Eved. But you know, you have it's really a microcosm of all of Klal Yisrael. It's only in the Zechuyos of representing the entire Tzibur and the love that could be shown by people who are part of the people, who become the people, who nurture the people. That's the Zechus that's going to be throughout the Midbar. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, Kasher Yisa Ha'omein HaSayone, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I have to be a mother to these people. That's the mashal. The mashal is that he has to be a mother to Klal Yisrael. When he gets frustrated, that's the response. I can't teach them anymore. Stop teaching them. Be a mother to them. Care for them. That's what he has to do. You know, I remember last year, Rabbi Shai Shachter was asking his father if he would come to Camp Simcha for a visit. And Rabbi Shachter, surprisingly, was very hesitant. Kept on like changing the topic, like avoiding the question, and like, you know, if you know Rav Shai at all, he doesn't take that. So he pushes a little bit. Sometimes people are very, you know, they're afraid to push Rav Shachter, to ask him. I was just talking to my son, he's on NCSY Kola. I said, did you introduce yourself to Rav Shachter? And he said, Abba, you sure he knows who you are? Like, come on. I'm pretty sure he knows who I am. You can go say hello. Like, he's so nervous, you know. But Rav Shai is not so nervous. Rav Shai, you know, like, he pushes. So finally Rav Shachter said, what am I going to see there? And Shai said, a lot of happiness. You're going to see a lot of joy. He said, but I'm going to see so many sick children. And what kind of Oneg Shabbos is that going to be? And of course he was crying. Meaning, when you're a person who feels things deeply, first of all, it's interesting that he thought about how am I going to halachically fulfill my obligation of Oneg Shabbos. But he was thinking about it's just going to be too distressing, it's going to be too painful. And until Shai convinced him, no, you will feel Oneg Shabbos because you're going to see how much simcha there is. You're going to see how much joy there is. So that's group two. That's the second tkufa. And then we come close to the finish line. And we're about to cross the finish line. We're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. Aaron and Miriam are no longer there to protect. They're no longer there to nourish us and to sustain us with their zechiyos. And that final barrier needs to be crossed, where essentially we're going to have to figure out how to live. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to make it on our own. Because once we're in Eretz Yisrael, we have to live like regular people. So what's going to bring us to that point? What kind of zechus will bring us to the point where we're actually going to be able to function on a daily basis? And that's a special zechus of only Moshe. The zechus HaTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu went up and down Har Sinai twice for 40 days, 40 nights. He brought us the Torah. The zechus of Moshe, it's not the zechus HaKohuna, it's not the zechus HaChesed, the zechus HaTorah. Because the Torah is what sustains us in the long term. When the experience is over and we're figuring out, what am I going to get out of the experience? You know, the school year is over, you graduate high school, you graduate whatever it is you're graduating. Okay, now what? What do they call it when you graduate? A commencement. What does commencement mean? A start. That's a little weird, right? It's a finish. No, but it's not supposed to be a finish, it's supposed to be a start. What am I going to get out of this? How is this going to take me forward? And the answer is within the confines of Torah, within the framework of Torah. The zechus of Moshe is going to be what guides us, what leads us. And that's why, no matter where we are in life, you know, Klal Yisrael is an amazing nation. We survived thousands of years without a land, without a homeland. And as important as Eretz Yisrael is in our Hashkafa, which you can't overstate the importance, as Shachar quoted from Rav Kook once, that, if you pattern your personality after the Torah and what's chashuv to you based on what's chashuv to the Torah, every parsha from Parshas Lech Lecha till the end is pretty much about Eretz Yisrael in some way or another. So Eretz Yisrael is big. And the hope for return has kept us going. But more than anything else, the Torah has kept us going when we didn't have Eretz Yisrael. The Torah provides us with a framework within which to live our lives. And that's why a person can be a nice person. A person could be a person that's easy to get along with. He could do many mitzvos. But you can't really be a full Jew. You're not living life as a Jew to the fullest unless you're seriously engaged in Talmud Torah. Not dabbling. Seriously engaged in Talmud Torah. In each Torah level. But seriously engaged in Talmud Torah. And it could be there are different levels. You know, we're here in Camp Keli. There are lots of different kinds of people here. The Torah speaks to every single one of us. The Torah speaks to everybody that's here. As I mentioned a few times already, Rav Khan said the other night, Rav Khan said, I'm still so inspired by this comment. Rav Khan said, there's the difference between the Vilna Gaon and me is much, much greater than the difference between me and a special needs kid in Camp Keli. And the Vilna Gaon doesn't laugh at me for trying to learn Torah. I do my best according to my level. But it's there for everybody. Everybody is supposed to find chiyus in the Torah. And it's through that that we get through life's experiences. That initial burst of energy, those great acts of chesed, and those are important in our life. We should do these great acts once in a while. Do something major for somebody else. And that will get us going. It often does. It gets us going. And then we have to make sure that we have the stick-to-itness to get through whatever experience that we're getting through and make sure that we're continuing to work toward a goal. But ultimately, if we want that goal to be long-lasting and to be something that affects our entire lives, we have to know how to make sure that the Torah is always a part of our lives.